This is Julian Edelman from Games with Names.
I want to take a second to talk about something that's personal to me. I've had the privilege of working closely with Robert Kraft for a long time, and one thing I've always respected is how seriously he takes up standing up to hate. As a Jewish athlete, my identity is something I am proud of, but I also know what it feels like to be singled out for it. That's why this new commercial for the Blue Square Alliance Against Hate that aired during the big game really hit home. It's about showing up for someone when they're targeted, even if you don't have the perfect words. And sometimes standing next to someone is enough. And you can show support by sharing the Blue Square.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. But let's start with something fun. Happy Easter, or just after the Easter holiday to everybody. Hopefully you had a great holiday. Artemis 2 is officially very close to the moon. This is very cool. Let's go ahead and hit some play on some of the Fox News breaking audio about this.
Earth's gravity. Now, just before the astronauts went to bed early this morning, they took a photo of the approaching moon just before they went to sleep. They'll receive a wake-up call at 10:50 a.m. to begin a busy day of research and photography. At 1:56 p.m. Eastern, they'll become the farthest humans from Earth in history, surpassing the record previously held by the three astronauts of the Apollo 13 mission in 1970. At 2:45, the seven-hour lunar flyby begins. Take a look at this NASA animation. It shows a time-lapse view of how it will look to the Artemis II crew. As the astronauts coast behind the far side of the moon, to them, the Earth will appear to set below the lunar surface.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that they use AI to show us all the fancy things that the astronauts are going to see. It's also kind of creepy. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of AI out there doing a lot of crazy stuff, but it's awesome. This is cool. Also, my new favorite astronaut, his name is Victor Glover. He is the black astronaut, as a lot of mainstream media wants to make sure you're aware that is on this flight. He could just be talked to like any other astronaut, but they do have to keep focusing on his race. While the astronauts were flying deeper and deeper into space, they gave some thoughts of their own. This got streamed, I think, to the entire world. And I just thought it was really good and really interesting leading up to Easter. Here's what Victor Glover said about our society, about what he could see when he looked at that tiny little speck, that planet Earth, from as far away as they're getting.
I'm glad you brought that up, though. I think these observances are important. And as we are so far from Earth and looking back at, you know, the beauty of creation, I think for me, one of the really important personal perspectives that I have up here is I can really see Earth as one thing. And, you know, when I read the Bible and I look at all of the amazing things that were done for us who were created, it's you have this amazing place, this spaceship. You guys are talking to us because we're in a spaceship really far from Earth, but you're on a spaceship called Earth that was created to give us a place to live in the universe, in the cosmos. I think maybe the distance we are from you makes you think what we're doing is special, but we're the same distance from you. And I'm trying to tell you, just trust me, you are special. In all of this emptiness, this is a whole bunch of nothing, this thing we call the universe. You have this oasis, this beautiful place that we get to exist together. I think as we go into Easter Sunday, thinking about, you know, all the cultures all around the world, whether you celebrate it or not, whether you believe in God or not, this is an opportunity for us to remember where we are, who we are, and that we are the same thing and that we got to get through this together.
Yeah, we got to get through this together, man. You got to stop talking to me and saying that I'm just a black guy and I'm, a NASA astronaut. Just treat me normal. I basically hear, I'm not saying that he intended for that to be the message. But when you pay attention to all the different media around him and the way in which they've discussed him and the female astronaut on this mission, it's so interesting because I do think it's similar to, and I'm a white guy, I guess I don't know, left-leaning media will tell me, and a leftist that I need to shut up because I have no idea what I'm talking about here. But it's similar to me to like watching a celebrity do a press junket where they keep getting asked the same question over and over again, and eventually they get sick of it. I imagine if you're the black astronaut or the female astronaut and left-leaning media is interviewing you, you're getting sick of discussing your race or your sex. It's the thing that you'd least want to talk about. You're like, I don't know, maybe ask me how difficult it is to pilot a spaceship. That feels like something more fun for us to discuss than more of this crap. Now, other things out there, I do like this a lot. Scott Jennings broke down to CNN how incredible it was that the president of the United States was discussing the success of saving a U.S. Military member whose aircraft was downed. You really cannot overdo the importance of a successful mission like this. And the president saying that we're not leaving anybody behind, that we're going to mobilize other forces in order to save someone who's down behind enemy lines. Literally, this is, to me, and this is reflecting on what the astronaut just said a second ago, a similar moment of U.S. pride. We should all be coming together, all thinking about this the same way. Of course we're not. Of course there's those that hate it on the other side for some reason. I can't even figure out what it is. But here's Scott Jennings, 18 seconds, breaking down how important this was.
This story of us rescuing this airman is nothing short of incredible. And yeah. And what the United States military is able to pull off, I mean, it's just amazing.
So, we're the only ones.
I mean, to say that we're thankful for this military operation this morning, it doesn't even capture how incredible it is.
Yeah, it doesn't even capture the significance of we lost a guy behind enemy lines and we were able to get him. We were able to bring military member back. That's amazing. And it shows the amount of dominance that exists right now in that area of the world as far as our military and what we've done in a very short amount of time, that we're even capable of doing that, that Iran was trying the best they could, and the best they could wasn't even close to good enough because of the success of our military and our country right now. And so I do think that's also a universal moment of, hey, look at how well things are going over here. Look at the success that we're having. And the reasons we're having it. And let's all for a second, whether you hate President Trump or not, acknowledge what's good about this. And a lot of people can't do it, of course. By the way, this is kind of just a weird thing. Greg Abbott, Governor Abbott here in Texas, I'm in Houston, that's where I live, was celebrating this story and shared a photo that he thought was real that was circulating all over the internet about the airman who was rescued, and it was AI generated. And then there was criticism of Abbott that he got tricked by an AI thing. I have to be honest, and this is the most important thing, I guess, in this discussion. AI is scarily convincing now. If you wanted to, you can pretty much create any image, any video, anything you want in AI, and it gets a lot of stuff right, and it looks very, very real. So I think the next challenge, however we're even able to go about it, because I saw some of the comments on that post when people were criticizing Abbott, they were also criticizing X or Twitter and saying that we need to find a way to make sure that anything that is artificially generated is described as that. There's a tag that says AI. I do think that's going to be a challenge. And the reason why is stuff is so convincing and people simply put those images up that you need a mass amount of people, as X is often used to doing, objecting to it and saying it's fake and knowing it's fake in order for us to eventually put AI image on it. And it's probably described that way now. I would imagine by now it's something that's universally understood. But Abbott was reacting quickly. Now, the other problem with AI plus the media world we currently live in is the desire to do something fast. Almost everybody wants to be the first one reacting or the first one sharing or the first one pushing information out there, mostly because, I'll tell you this, this is a silly thing, it ups your engagement. At D Lash, at Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, incredibly popular Twitter page, and yet I've seen Dana sometimes complain that she's definitely not getting the amount of exposure she deserves to get because the platform's not putting it more places. She's popular. She's got a lot of followers. And there's people that follow her account that don't see her tweets. I don't see all of her tweets. I follow her account and I fill in on her radio show. I even have her, I think, in my bio as an at to her as one of the people that I guest host for. And I don't see all these tweets that she puts out that sometimes don't get the exposure they should get. And I think there's a race for not Dana. This is not about her anymore. There's a race for speed in certain accounts that are trying to gain exposure, like mine. My account is a little baby one. It's got like 500 followers on it. I barely ever use it, at Radio Craig Z, if you want to follow me there. But if I were to grab a photo, a real photo, of something like the successful saving of a U.S. military individual, I'm pretty sure that would go very viral and benefit my account a lot. And I'm not saying that's why Abbott did this. I'm saying that's one of the reasons that there's such a desire in social media to be first, to be the first one reporting something so that you go viral, so that you have the most attention on your account for whatever reason. A whole lot of people have this. A lot of media companies have this as its overarching goal. And that's bad. It's bad, especially when AI is going to be very good at convincing people, at least in the short term, that something they've created is something real. It could trick a lot of us. And actually, you know what? Here, I'll put a positive spin on this as a weird thing to rant about to start the show. I think our news media system needs to slow down. I think that very, very often, and I think that a lot of the people who do this do not care. They won't listen to my advice. They manipulate you on purpose. They know they're manipulating you. They don't care about it, as I said. But anyway, I think the media system needs to slow down to the benefit of the system itself to be more accurate. Give it more time. Wait 2 days sometimes to definitively report on something. Don't say nothing, but say we don't know what we're going to pretend to know until we actually know it. We're not going to behave as though we have definitive information when it's not possible to have it yet. And so many times when people have egg on their face in mainstream media, outside of the intentional lying that happens all the time and the narrative building that they do all the time, the other big thing that often gets outed is how quickly they reported on something that winds up being utterly incorrect, and then they don't even apologize for that. But I do think that maybe it's AI's fault if in the future our news cycle slows down, and that would be the benefit of you, me, and everybody in our brains, because we'd get more time before we know, or we think we know, what the truth on any story is. All right, we got to take a break. A lot coming up, a lot to talk about. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
As we roll towards Today in Stupidity, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Byrna Gun. You guys are familiar with Byrna. You've heard me talk about them before. I always carry. You know, sometimes you're barred from exercising your Second Amendment right by municipal private property restrictions. And of course, it's interesting. None of those entities ever actually provide armed security. They just want you to risk it for the biscuit. Byrna CL compact launcher, most compact one they have. They have different models. This is the one you need to look at for this purpose. If you're wanting to protect yourself, but you're not allowed because of those restrictions, check out the Byrna. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. Compare it to like stun guns, et cetera, one or two rounds. The Byrna CL has a 15-round shot capacity per cartridge. And you have different accessories, different carriers for it. There's no recoil. Easy reacquisition of target. Very easy to use. But here's the big thing. It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs because it's not a gun. So none of that matters, right? Not a gun. There's no background checks. There's no waiting periods. You literally buy it online and they send it to your door. That's it. And this is a great option for college kids, too, who are living away from home, going to school, but they need to be able to protect themselves, but they're not age 21 yet. Check out the Byrna gun, BYRNA.com/Dana. It's the Byrna CL. Byrna.com/Dana, ready when you are.
If data management is slowing down your business, you need the Intuit ERP. If one entity is here, and one here, and one here, and one here, you need the Intuit ERP. If scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that consolidates, migrates, and automates, all in one place. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
All right, quick quiz for the hiring managers out there. What's worse, being understaffed or being poorly staffed? Well, that's a trick question, because both are recipes for chaos. Either way, just say to yourself, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. You'll get matched with candidates that meet the skills, certifications, and everything else you're looking for. Or go a different way and get no traction. Seriously, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. It really is a no-brainer. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. Let's play this audio. This is CNN, I think, doing some research, finding that Republicans are far more favorable than Democrats are, because of course they are. This just simply makes sense to me. Here we go.
Let's just take a look.
Wait, hold on. That's kind of loud. Let's go ahead and roll that down a little bit.
Look at this. Right. Net favorability. Party ahead at this point. Midterm of years with the GOP president. In 2018, Dems were up by 12. In 2006 on net favorability, which party you like more? Dems were ahead by 18. Republicans are actually ahead on net favorability at this point by 5 points. So Democrats are just simply put running behind their previous benchmarks, and they need to be running well ahead of them if they want to take back the United States.
No blue wave is what he's saying there. Essentially, that's the analysis. Plus 5% in 2026, the favorability of Democrats compared to, Republicans compared to Democrats. Here's what I think is funny. I know a lot of people like that obsess about polls and stuff. I imagine you might have some people in your own life who do this too. They'll tell you all the time what the latest poll number is, what this thing is saying over here, what's coming. You remember that actually when Biden was in office, there was a lot of bragging about a red wave. And then the red wave didn't materialize to the degree that you wanted it to. The Republicans still won, I think, enough seats to try to upend some of the terrible things Biden was doing. But it wasn't the convincing victory you were told it was, because polls are terrible and they're wrong all the time. I looked into this over the weekend because I kind of intended to crap on polls a little bit while on the Dana Show today. Filling in for D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X and Twitter. And honestly, the most shocking thing I found is that the best experts in the world of using polls to predict the outcome of an election get things right about 60% of the time when it's within a few weeks of the election. And if it's far out, and right now we're quite a bit out, we're about as far as the astronauts are that are headed toward the moon, from the actual election when it comes to the poll accuracy numbers, we're trending at like 30 to 40% accuracy in predicting something. And even then, like, most are terrible. It's a baseball, it's a Hall of Fame baseball player's average, or at least it used to be. The world of baseball now, nobody really hits 300. But that's what it is at its best this far away. So most of the people predicting this stuff and most of the polls telling you what they think is going to happen, they're all wrong, and they're significantly wrong. So I love that. But even when this data comes out that says Republicans are net favorable compared to where Democrats were at this point in previous midterm elections, obviously the historical trend there is hopefully good for us. But I figured I'd poo-poo polls as a whole. Not because I'm trying to take away anything from Republicans and that CNN one specifically, but because every time anybody tells me, like, especially President Trump, anyone that ever polled anybody, I love the ridiculousness of the statement I just made on Trump, seems to have gotten that wrong. President Trump did way, way better than any poll ever predicted that he would do. I think they thought, if I'm remembering correctly, Hillary Clinton had like a 95% chance of winning the 2016 election, according to polling data. And they were wrong. They were pretty wrong. This is a weatherman who'd actually get fired if this was a situation where that's the guy predicting your weather in your county. And they never get fired. They get stuff wrong all the time, and they get to keep their job too. I'm not trying to break bad on the weather people out there, but when you tell me it's going to rain and there's literally no rain at all, I'm a little annoyed by that. But these people would be so bad at that job if they're political pollsters that they would be fired from being weathermen in our community. I'm saying it one more time because of how significant that win would be. All right, let me play this. This is really funny to me. There's like a minute and a half of viral video of President Trump sitting down and, interacting with kids while they are celebrating Easter at the White House. There's a lot of like cute, silly, whatever you call it stuff, where President Trump is even making jokes that he did one of the drawings. He holds up a drawing that a kid was asking him to sign and says, you know, look at the great work that I did. Like, genuinely funny stuff. A person who's good at interacting with children on television. I'm not going to play any of that. The reason why is the tail end of this viral video is so good to me. And it's a little hard to hear. So if you don't actually hear it, I'll go ahead and tell you what they're saying after we play it. But Trump is making fun of the auto pen to children. He's telling children about Biden's use of the auto pen. This is hilarious to me. This is an adult joke in a kid's movie kind of thing. Here we go.
Yeah, Biden would use the auto pen. He'd have an auto pen problem. He didn't sign. He was incapable of signing his name. So they'd follow him around with a big machine, you know what it was called? An auto pen. And he'd have the auto pen sign for him. He'd take the paper, hand it to his guys, sign it with an auto pen, give it back.
It's hilarious. The little kids, some of them are looking at him like, what are you talking about, sir? And then other kids are saying an auto pen, like they're actually repeating it and they're in for the conversation. It's so funny to me that President Trump would bash the auto pen and the use of the auto pen with the former president to kids while signing autographs on Easter. Like that's a certain level of locked in to what you're doing that I don't know if I ever am. I don't know if I'm ever that locked in. If I were sitting down with kids over Easter for some sort of press event, I don't think I'd be talking about how I'm filling in for Dana Loesch on Monday because I'm not that. I'm trying to be locked in. I want to be good hosting the show for you guys right now. I'm not President Trump levels of locked in, but I think that's amazing. Like, I know that people on the left will bash it or somehow say it's a negative, but like, it's actually a really good joke. And he's explaining in decent detail what the auto pen is to children in a way that they'll understand it. He's like this big machine that used to go around and sign stuff for you. By the way, while the president was joking with kids about Biden's use of the auto pen, still a sentence I'm going to say multiple times because I like it so much. Most on the left were claiming that he was at Walter Reed and had a massive health issue. This was completely untrue, but a whole bunch of left-leaning X accounts went viral with there's speculation that Trump's at Walter Reed, that he's having problems, that, you know, he might actually be in a health crisis and he's not there to pay attention to what's going on with the war in Iran. None of this is true. Again, I'll just say it one more time that this is complete, absolute made up fake news crap. And yet it's the typical move of the left. They hate America right now. And I hate saying that here. I'll tell you why. Because that's a weird statement. And a lot of people in right-leaning media all the time tell you the left hates America. And sometimes when you hear that on its face, you might think that's just political hyperbole. You might think people are just saying something because whatever reason is that they would say it to benefit them. But it seems to actually be true. Like when I watch the amount of things that at least the talking head people or the loudest voices in the room people on that side of the political aisle, the pundits, the influencers, the whoever you want to call them, they seem to be hoping for worst case scenario because they hate President Trump so much, they inevitably behave as though they also hate America. And there's no other way to say that. And what I think it is, the interpretation I've always had for people happily living in this country and crapping on every simplistic value system that this country stands for, is that they're so spoiled by the freedom of the United States of America. They're so spoiled by the benefit of being an American citizen who lives in this country that they take it for granted to a petulant child degree. They become a person. You know what's funny about this, actually? Over the weekend, my wife and I went to a grocery store. Actually, we went on Easter Sunday that was open. And we were surprised that it was open, to be honest. But we were also surprised at the ridiculous amount of people that were there. And at one point, we saw two parents with a little kid. He was probably about 5 years old. And he just had a tantrum. He melted down. He was in the shopping cart. And I think he was trying to grab the clearance candy off of the rack and just put it in the cart. And they were telling him no at some point. And I watched this small child as we were walking by. We didn't stay to hang out and observe, but I watched him like just get irate at his two parents and start crying and being upset and all that stuff. And the parents were embarrassed, as probably a lot of parents would be in a situation like this. But I also remember a different time in society where this was an unacceptable set of behaviors, where you couldn't do this, where there was some level of punishment that fit the crime that caused a child to not do this again ever because they were afraid of whatever that reprimand would be, physical or otherwise. And it just doesn't exist anymore in our society. And so you see that level of, I can't be harmed or I can't be punished in a way that I think would hurt me at all. So I'm going to behave however I want. I see that same behavior in left-leaning idiots all the time, or the left mouthpieces that are out there all the time. I would love for them to go live somewhere else. And you hear that all the time as the reaction to America sucks this much. Well, go hop on a flight and go live somewhere else. And they never do it. We need to create a game show where they have to. I want a game show where everyone that's a big, loud, ridiculous mouthpiece for, Democratic politics and craps all over the livelihood that exists here in the United States, I want them all to be sent somewhere that they don't want to live, which would be anywhere else in the world, and do a live show about how terrible their lives are now. I would love to see that. We don't even have to go like third world country, I don't think, for them to complain about the way that life would be different if they left the United States. I think just Canada would be terrible enough for them. They'd be like, you know what? This is awful. We don't want to live here. But who knows? We'll see. There's a lot of options there. I would love to have that be a reality TV show, though, because I would watch so much of it. All right, one last thing, and then we'll take a break. I do want to play this audio. This is Savannah Guthrie returning to the Today Show. She said that it was great to be home. We have some of this audio. This is very odd, not that I think she shouldn't have gone back to work, but that we've talked so much about the difficult thing that she's going through, her mother being abducted and not being returned. And so it's interesting to see someone who's been a focal point while away from her media job return to her media job while still not having a complete resolution in the thing that we've been talking about for a while. I mean, obviously, horrifically, I think a lot of people are fearing for the worst in a lot of that case. But here, let's play some of this audio.
Good morning. Welcome to Today on this Monday morning. We are so glad you started your week with us, and it is good to be home.
Yes, it is good to have you back at home.
Well, here we go. Ready or not, yeah. Let's do the news.
Yes. So
let's do the news is what she says, and then she does the news. But again, Savannah Guthrie, 54 years old, is mentioned in this post. I don't know why. I feel like she'd be upset about that, because any woman I know is upset whenever you mention their age. But she returned to the desk at 7 o'clock at Rockefeller Center. And she has obviously been dealing with the disappearance of her mother back on February 1st. And media has been very much talking about a thing. And it's probably partly because she's a media personality herself, probably mostly because of that. So now there will, I assume, be some level of hyper fixation on the actual conducting of the job. It might be similar to Erica Kirk. I don't know. In the amount of people who were hyper-focused on everything Erica Kirk did after the horrible, disgusting, awful loss of her husband, horrifically shot and killed in Charlie Kirk. We'll see what happens here. But I feel like there will be more media focus, not less, moving forward. All right, quick break. A lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our friends over at Relief Factor. I feel like I need Relief Factor today. Everything's giving me aches and pains, like the weather, people who can't drive properly in roundabouts, you know, like exercise, things like that. But Relief Factor always wants to help people get out and stay out of pain. And they've made their already trusted formula even better. So it includes a premium black pepper extract. Now, what that does is it helps your body absorb Relief Factor's high quality ingredients more effectively, so you get more benefit from what you're already taking. So in super simple terms, it just maximizes what your body can actually use. And that matters if you're taking something every day. So if you've been thinking about trying Relief Factor, now is a great time. And if you're already using it, you're getting an upgraded formula that works even smarter. Start with the 3-week quick start. It's just $19.95 at relieffactor.com. You can also call 800-4-RELIEF. It's the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Available now at relieffactor.com or by calling 800-4-RELIEF.
If data management is slowing down your business, you need the Intuit ERP. If one entity is here, and one here, and one here, and one here, you need the Intuit ERP. If scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that consolidates, migrates, and automates all in one place. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
All right, quick quiz for the hiring managers out there. What's worse, being understaffed or being poorly staffed? Well, that's a trick question because both are recipes for chaos. Either way, just say to yourself, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. You'll get matched with candidates that meet the skills, certifications, and everything else you're looking for. Or go a different way and get no traction. Seriously, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. It really is a no-brainer. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. I do think the press conference that President Trump gave was interesting. We'll get to more of that a little bit later on here in this hour of the show. He talked about the successful mission to save American lives after an aircraft was downed behind enemy lines in Iran. Two American military members were saved. It was a really cool mission. It should be a universally praised thing, and of course it's not. I do want to play this audio, and I'll be honest about this. This isn't politics. This isn't anything to deal with Trump and Iran or any of that stuff, but I think it's significant still. I've shied away from talking too much about Savannah Guthrie whenever I've filled in on this show or anywhere else. My own show in Houston at KSEV Radio there, and I'm actually broadcasting from their studios right now. But nonetheless, the reason I've done that is I kind of feel bad for her. I feel bad that while going through something awful that any family would struggle with, there's also a unique additional level of focus because she happens to be a member of the media. So that's part of the reason I don't think I discussed much of this. Savannah Guthrie did return to the Today Show. She opened the show today at the desk saying exactly this.
Morning. Welcome to today on this Monday morning. We are so glad you started your week with us, and it is good to be home.
Yes, it is good to have you back at home.
Well, here we go. Ready or not, yeah. Let's do the news.
Yes, yeah, so good to have you back.
So good to have you back. There is still not a resolution officially in what's gone on here. Savannah Guthrie's mom was kidnapped, went missing, whatever the terminology is that they acceptably use, but I'm pretty sure kidnapped is what everyone knows happened here. But anyway, she's been missing for over 2 months, and there is no resolution. We don't know if Savannah Guthrie's mother is okay. I think most people fear for the worst here, that it's very likely that something terrible happened. But it's interesting to see her sit there and try to do the news and behave like normal. And I'll say this one other thing. This is a weird thing to say, and I probably shouldn't even go this road, but I'm going to do it anyway. Media people do have to pretend to be okay when they're not okay. That is the way you do the job. That is an aspect of the job that is a requirement that whenever, wherever you go, you're supposed to always be in a certain mood, even if you're not in that mood. And it's probably one of the more challenging things about doing a media gig at all. If something bad is happening in your life, you can't really bring that on the air or bring that into whatever the format is of media you're doing. I'm not saying that you should feel bad for people who have to deal with this. The challenges of media, by and large, pale in comparison to the benefits of being a media personality of any kind. I've always thought of that as a thing that I kind of understand to some degree, not to her degree and not in this situation at all, just in general, the false face you might occasionally have to put on to disregard anything challenging that you're going through in order to be a good and valuable member of the media. And honestly, you know what? Actually, I'll say this differently. A crap ton of people don't do this anymore. There's a tremendous amount of people who all the time focus on themselves, bring whatever's on their mind, whatever's impacting their life to the forefront of any sort of media discussion. These are the people who always think they're the victim of everything all the time, forever. They have to talk about it ad nauseum. They're the people ruining media, by and large, to me. They're the people doing a terrible job of not being the professionals they need to be. But anyway, Savannah Guthrie did return to television without still a sense of closure on the bad thing that's going on for her family and her mother still being missing. All right, let's uplift us. Let's play something different. The Artemis II crew officially reached the moon. They are set to travel further than any humans have in history, deeper around the moon and come back. They're essentially testing a bunch of life support systems. I hear some of the Fox News story talking about that over the Easter holiday.
And the Earth's gravity. Now, just before the astronauts went to bed early this morning, they took a photo of the approaching moon just before they went to sleep. They'll receive a wake-up call at 10:50 a.m. to begin a busy day of research and photography. At 1:56 p.m. Eastern, they'll become the farthest humans from Earth in history, surpassing the record previously held by the three astronauts of the Apollo 13 mission.
Yeah, that happened earlier today. They became the deepest traveling astronauts in the history of the world, which is pretty cool. And America exceptionalism on display yet again. NASA successfully sending people up into space, around the moon, knock on wood, bringing them back. Everything will be fine. The only issue they've faced is with their toilet, which is also sort of odd that they have a toilet, because other moon missions the last time around didn't get that convenience or an attempt at that convenience. But the toilet's been the trickiest part. I think there were ice issues, fan issues, all kinds of things. Whether or not they can rectify those and continue to have a toilet similar to the one that we have here on Earth, or at least functioning in a similar capacity, is yet to be seen. But that's been the biggest challenge. I wish I wouldn't choose that if it were me and I was an astronaut flying into space. Like, out of all the things to go wrong, be like, yeah, let's have the toilet break. But I also probably would prefer it to anything else being broken. I would not want any of the other equipment or any of the other things we were dealing with to go bad. I think the toilet's the thing I would most likely sacrifice, even if it makes you get to know the other astronauts quite a bit better than maybe you want to know them. All right, another thing that I thought was interesting, producer Steven sent this. This was great. Victor Glover, the astronaut who's getting a lot of attention, simply because he's a black guy that's in space. A lot of people want to talk about whatever glass ceiling he's breaking, him and the female astronaut who's making a trip around the moon. Victor Glover doesn't seem to want to focus on that at all, and attaboy to him for not wanting that to be the narrative about his success as a human being, being an astronaut that gets to fly around the moon, not land on it, but fly around it. Here's what he said in response to the Easter holiday, in response to, you know, a opportunity to speak to the world. He said that from his vantage point, and I'm going to play the audio, looking at Earth, he sees a whole lot that unites us and not a whole lot that separates us. It's a cool moment for sure from a person that's been uniquely focused on in a way that separates him from everybody else that he's on that mission with, or everybody else that he works with at NASA.
I'm glad you brought that up, though. I think these observances are important. And as we are so far from Earth and looking back at, you know, the beauty of creation, I think for me, one of the really important personal perspectives that I have up here is I can really see Earth as one thing. And, you know, when I read the Bible and I look at all of the amazing things that were done for us who were created, it's, you have this amazing place, this spaceship. You guys are talking to us because we're in a spaceship really far from Earth, but you're on a spaceship called Earth that was created to give us a place to live in the universe, in the cosmos. I think maybe the distance we are from you makes you think what we're doing is special, but we're the same distance from you. And I'm trying to tell you, just trust me, you are special. In all of this emptiness, this is a whole bunch of nothing, this thing we call the universe. You have this oasis, this beautiful place that we get to exist together. I think as we go into Easter Sunday, thinking about, you know, all the cultures all around the world, whether you celebrate it or not, whether you believe in God or not, this is an opportunity for us to remember where we are, who we are, and that we are the same thing and that we got to get through this together.
I love that he says we're the same thing. We're all humans. We're all the same. I'm a millennial, so when he says I'm special, I'm also used to hearing that a whole lot all the time. Everybody growing up told me I was special and they gave me trophies when I didn't deserve them. I actually remember throwing a Pinewood Derby trophy in the trash. I don't know if I've told this story before on the radio, but I think Victor Glover would appreciate it. There was a Pinewood Derby. I must have been like 10, and I made my own car. And anybody who doesn't know about this, and the Boy Scouts, is you make a little wooden car and you race them. and I put like weights on it and stuff. I followed all the rules. My car was terrible. And I found out, I was raised by a single mom, that most of the kids I was competing against, their dads helped make their cars for them. So they were much better. They were not a reflection of what a 10-year-old does when given a Pinewood Derby kit and told to make a car of his own. Mine was. My science fair projects, my history projects, they were always an example of what I would do without any adult help whatsoever. And I'm proud of that, man. I once got a, this is a tangent, and actually it was about the Apollo moon missions. I once got an honorable mention in a history fair. Is that what it, I think is what it was? A history fair category that I entered alone. There was no one else competing. It was like a performance of a historical event. And so I wrote my own performance and I performed the moon landing between Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. No one else competed at my grade school in the performance for a history thing. And I remember when I signed up for it, this is such a tangent, I can't help it. I remember when I signed up for it, I realized no one was competing and I wouldn't have to work very hard to get an A. I was like, well, I'm alone in this category and I don't have to write the project and do the you know, billboard or the cardboard, whatever thing is. I can just perform something. And I did it, and they didn't give me first, second, or third. They gave me honorable mention in a category by myself. And that was great. I think I was thrilled with that, because when I got it, I was like, yeah, I deserve this. I didn't deserve better. I didn't try that hard. But in the Pinewood Derby, even though my car was the absolute worst, I was given a trophy for it. And I remember on the way home throwing that trophy out, being like, I don't deserve this. I don't know why people are giving me this. I was crushed by every other Pinewood Derby car there, because I made my own and most of the kids didn't at that age. Most of the kids were helped by a parent. I remember my mom even, I think, watching me make the Pinewood Derby car and being like, I don't know how to help you. I don't know anything about that. So go ahead, son, go into it, see how good it goes. Good luck to you, which was great. But again, I think that this is a very odd tangent to go on in response to Victor Glover's NASA statement from space while orbiting the moon. But I think his point is valid, that we're all the same. We're all fine. We're all great. And he said that I'm special. And I love that. But also, we need to stop focusing on those individual things so much because they take away from the value of a success when you have it, or the value of an honorable mention in a category that no one else is competing against. All right, quick break. A lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. They've stood on the front lines for over a decade, delivering top-tier service while funding the Christian conservative movement. With prioritized premium access on all three major U.S. networks, you get fast speeds, dependable nationwide coverage, and 100% U.S.-based customer support. You also get unlimited data plans, mobile hotspots, international roaming, and more. Everything that you would expect from top carriers with seamless activation in minutes. Your switch directly funds conservative causes through their proven stream of giving. Switch your service to Patriot Mobile. I did over 10 years ago, and take a stand for freedom. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use code Dana for a free month of service. Don't wait. It's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
If data management is slowing down your business, you need the Intuit ERP. If one entity is here, and one here, and one here, and one here, you need the Intuit ERP. If scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that consolidates, migrates, and automates, all in one place. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
All right, quick quiz for the hiring managers out there. What's worse, being understaffed or being poorly staffed? Well, that's a trick question, because both are recipes for chaos. Either way, just say to yourself, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. You'll get matched with candidates that meet the skills, certifications, and everything else you're looking for. Or go a different way and get no traction. Seriously, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. It really is a no-brainer. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Greg Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. President Trump gave a lengthy press conference today in which he mostly touted the success of our military in saving the lives of two service members who were downed behind enemy lines. We brought both of those people back. We did not lose their lives, which is incredible. Like the story itself, that no one died saving the lives. It's like Saving Private Ryan if everybody survived pretty well. Like there's something about it that's crazy. And yet most media doesn't want to talk about it because it doesn't make Trump look bad. And that's literally objective one whenever they look at any story. Does this make Trump look bad? If yes, then you go further. If no, you stop, you ignore it completely. It's insane. The level of bias that exists. They're so mad that he pointed out how biased they were. They became more biased because of it. I just want that to sink in for everybody. But President Trump also called out fake news media for demanding top secret plans from him all the time. They need to realize he's not going to tell them that stuff. And that if things leak, that shouldn't be media information. And media runs with it in a way that puts American lives in jeopardy or puts national security at risk. You are very likely to get in trouble through courts of law, whether you're a broadcaster or not. But here's a little bit of what Trump said today.
People that are so pro, you just saw two great and John Ratcliffe, three unbelievable people. They have a plan. Every single thing has been thought out by all of us. But I can't reveal the plan to the media. So, you know, but we're just thrilled by the success of this operation. Yes, please.
Yeah, and I go ahead and move on to the next person. I can't tell the media all the stuff we're doing. You should understand this by now. And yet media doesn't. And honestly, it's the same thing I just said a second ago. A vast majority of the people, the reporters who ask him these crazy questions that involve certain levels of are you going to maneuver here? Are you going to do that? All of it is designed to find a way to get him in trouble for something, to blame him for something. Right now, a lot of mainstream media is trying to accuse President Trump of a war crime in a way that we wouldn't even acknowledge a war crime if it was one, which it isn't. But even if it were, we don't actually care about international laws that would try to dictate how we as a country behave. This is not a Trump thing. This is a United States thing. We don't want to be beholden to the rules of anyone other than our own country. But nonetheless, they're accusing him of something he hasn't done yet and of it being a war crime. And it's just sort of insane. And in order to do that, they're trying to trap President Trump into saying something, anything that they can try to use against him. Here's another example of a reporter talking about the end of the conflict and what that means and how this all goes and if the United States is somehow going to benefit from it. And these are just crazy questions, to be honest. It's just insane. And they're pretending as though it's real because part of the game, too, is if I say something out loud, you can assume that maybe it's true, no matter what it is. So here, this is a really great example of that.
Are you allowed to, or are you willing to end this conflict with Iran charging tolls for passage through the strait?
Us charging tolls?
Iran.
What about us charging tolls?
Is that something you're considering?
I'd rather do that than let them have them, right? Why shouldn't we? We're the winner. We won, okay? They are militarily defeated. The only thing they have is the psychology of, oh, we're going to drop a couple of mines in the water, all right? No, we have a concept where we'll charge tolls, okay? I thought you meant us.
I love everything about that version of a reaction back to, by the way, is like, we have a concept where we'll charge tolls. I don't even know if that's true, to be honest. I heard the president say that. I feel like that's a reaction to the Iran might charge tolls to make the Strait of Hormuz more difficult for a lot of countries to access and go through if they're not actually attacking the ships that are going through it. We need a negative. We have to find a negative, sir. And we have to get you on the record saying a thing, whatever that thing is, that we can turn into something bad for us. But I kind of love what this, because I feel like now I can already predict the news cycle that most people will run with. U.S. plans to take Strait of Hormuz and charge tolls to anyone that goes through it because of what Trump said in reaction to a question there. Because they want him to be the bad guy, the terrible person, what have you. But so often you see this happen. And it's not just the mainstream media outlets and their stupid narratives that they want to fulfill. And Dana does an amazing job talking about this, too. It's all the grifters, all the new Reich, which is such a hilarious way to refer to some idiot podcasters or ill intent, bad intent, just bad human people out there that say and do terrible things sometimes, is that very, very often people now understand that in order to get something off the ground as a concept, you just start saying it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's true or false. The more times you say it, the more you think that someone might actually believe it. And then you can eventually blame somebody else for being the catalyst to a discussion that you brought up and that you several times over and over again reiterated in some form or fashion until eventually you're like, yeah, and this didn't come from me. This came from some other person. This is the Candace Owens version of just asking questions to figure out who actually killed Charlie Kirk, which is utterly dishonest to what she's actually doing, which is horrible. And then blaming, I think, Israel and other people for being a part of that. I also liked this moment with President Trump at the press conference where he slapped around a New York Times reporter. This is pretty interesting. Let's play some of this audio.
Question. Deliberate attacks on civilian infrastructure violate the Geneva Conventions and international law.
Who are you with?
I'm with the New York Times. Zolan from the New York Times. Are you
failing?
Are you concerned?
Circulation way down at the New York Times.
Are you concerned that your threat to bomb power plants and bridges amount to
no,
war
not
crimes?
At all. No, no, I'm not. I hope I don't have to do it. But again, I just said 47 years they've been negotiating with these people. They're great negotiators.
Why would that?
And because they're not going to have a nuclear weapon. And if some.
I love the pompousness of this question. International law is not something we're subject to. It's not. You can debate this if you want till you're blue in the face. You can say Geneva Convention or whatever version of an agreement you think makes the U.S. have to follow certain international laws. We specifically reject them. There's certain things that we agreed to in the past that we're willing to say continue today. But the idea that anyone else would control our behavior in a conflict of any kind for any reason whatsoever, other than the United States itself, other than our system that we have in place, it flies in the face of everything the founding fathers tried to create. So I love the fact that liberal leaning or liberally insane, like far left outlets like the New York Times, would want to pretend as though the premise of their question has legitimacy, that any president, not just Trump, would give a crap at all about the idea that something we did, quote, violated international law, even though it doesn't, by the way, too. Like, within conflict, there's things you might need to do because they cause you to win a fight and they are being used militarily, even if they're civilian structures. There are times when obliterating, say, all of the ability to transmit oil and gas throughout the country, especially when they're selling it and benefiting from it and using that money to fund terrorism. Like, there's so many arguments you could make that try to win the fight of, is this even against international law? And I hate that I'm going down that rabbit hole right now, but I am. I'm accepting the premise of the question and arguing within the premise in a way that I think I could win. But the point is, and Trump does this, you don't have to. Like, who cares? It doesn't matter. He is not alone. He is far from the only president to have said that international law doesn't actually apply to us, because it would be incredibly damaging to the United States to pretend that we had someone that we had to answer to that's not God. God gave us our rights. God gave you and I all the rights we have as humans, as people, citizens of this country or any other. That is within our Constitution. We believe that to be a thing. We then give jobs to politicians. We, the people, allow for them to you know, create rules and laws that we say are okay. And when they do things that we don't like, we're supposed to at least fire them, if not do something else in response to the terrible thing that they do, whatever that terrible thing is. But again, like the structure of who's in control is always so ridiculously transformed and manipulated by mainstream media to pretend as though Trump isn't the person in the position he's in. He's not the president of the United States. And then we're not his bosses. Like, President Trump gets this better than a lot of people do, but we're his boss. And we're all of the bosses of all of the people in politics in D.C. No matter how much they don't seem to behave that way, they have a boss and the boss is us. And we need to fire a whole lot more of these people, not President Trump. We need to fire a whole lot more of these people who don't put America first, because they're hurting us. They're hurting you. They're hurting me. They're hurting our society as a whole in our country. and they're propping up these morons like this guy at the New York Times that wants to pretend as though international law would tell our president what to do in any conflict, in any situation, when it simply is not the case. I do want to play one last thing from the press conference. It's President Trump referring to a leak in which a media company, you can probably figure out which media company, ran with a story they shouldn't have run with, and it put one of our two service members in harm's way. Before we had rescued him from behind enemy lines, the media company essentially told our enemy that we still hadn't successfully rescued both individuals from the downed aircraft. That is obviously a national security issue, and Trump, President Trump did address it.
When you add that to it, but we have to find that leaker because that's a sick person. Probably didn't realize the extent of how bad it was. I can't imagine that the person did, but we're going to find out. It's national security, and the person that did the story will go to jail if he doesn't say, and that doesn't last long. And I think everybody would understand that they put this mission at great risk. They put that man at great risk, and they put the hundreds of people that went in looking for him.
Yes.
Because everyone now knows that we're going in.
Yeah, everyone knows we're still looking. We're still operating a military campaign that maybe the enemy had thought it ended. Maybe there was something we were doing more quietly because they thought we had rescued two people and we had only rescued one so far. There's a myriad of different scenarios that you could paint to where reporting this as a media company was uniquely terrible. And they just don't care. And that should matter. And I know this is a broken record kind of thing, but it's just amazing the amount of examples you can find in society today that show you this again and again and again. They do not care. They don't care about our country. They don't care about the men and women who serve this country, who protect this country and its freedoms. They don't care about anything. They will literally side with terrorists if they think that it somehow harms President Trump. And they hate him so much that they can see the point, the position of a terrorist better than they can see the position, the intention, the desires of the current president of the United States. That is a broken version of Trump derangement syndrome, if ever I've seen it. All right, quick break. A little bit more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
So I've been paying attention to what's happening with gold and silver lately, and honestly, it's pretty shocking. Gold and silver have risen to record highs in relation to the dollar. And after talking with Colin over at Noble Gold Investments, I really get it. This isn't about trying to time the market. It's not about chasing some get-rich-quick opportunity. It's about protecting what you've already worked so hard to build. And when the economy feels uncertain and when currencies start weakening, when people get nervous about their retirement accounts, historically, they look for stability. And physical gold and silver have always been a part of that conversation. You know, I appreciate, I think maybe the most, that Colin and his team, they don't pressure people, right? They don't use hype. They didn't use that with me. They just simply walk me through my options. They answer questions and they treat you with respect. And that matters. Noble Gold has helped people protect their savings with physical gold and silver. They've been doing it for nearly a decade with transparency and real customer service. If you want to learn more, download their free wealth protection kit at noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana. Get informed and then decide what's right for you and your family.
If data management is slowing down your business, you need the Intuit ERP. If one entity is here, and one here, and one here, and one here, you need the Intuit ERP. If scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that consolidates, migrates, and automates, all in one place. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
All right, quick quiz for the hiring managers out there. What's worse, being understaffed or being poorly staffed? Well, that's a trick question because both are recipes for chaos. Either way, just say to yourself, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. You'll get matched with candidates that meet the skills, certifications, and everything else you're looking for. Or go a different way and get no traction. Seriously, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. It really is a no-brainer. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five on the Dana Show. D Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. A great way to stay connected to her. UConn, Michigan. The championship game for men's NCAA basketball is tonight. I think it's going to be a good game. Michigan has been a dominant basketball team, especially in the NCAA tournament. And especially when you look at how they dominated Arizona, a team that a whole lot of people thought was going to put up more of a fight. So Michigan comes into this thing about as good as they could possibly be. And yet UConn feels like the team that's going to win this thing because they're the team of destiny, man. The way they handled Duke in a shocking end-of-game fashion with a crazy comeback, et cetera, et cetera. It just feels like UConn is destined to win. Like the gods have blessed the team, or in the case of me, I'm a Catholic. I believe God has blessed this team, and they're just going to do it. Who knows? We'll see. But if there were ever a harder opponent to face at the end of the season for UConn and the team of destiny, it would be Michigan, one of the more dominant college basketball teams I've seen in a while, even if they might not be 100% healthy, even if some players on the team might not be 100% capable of doing what they normally do. I think that it's going to be a heck of a game. So I hope for the best there. I hope for not a blowout. Those are always annoying and sad. The Super Mario Galaxy movie broke a crazy amount of box office records. I think $372.5 million globally was the amount of money the movie made. Here's my favorite part of this movie's online discussion. People are saying it's not narratively a good movie. And I find that hilarious because it's a cartoon about a video game that didn't have a terrible amount of substance to begin with. It's not like there's a lot of lore around the Super Mario, not that I'm aware of anyway, around the Super Mario franchise. So to me, it's exactly what you would expect it to be. A very dumb, I didn't see it, but a very dumb movie. And people seem to be mad about that. I blame Pixar. I blame people that don't understand that when you go to a kid's movie, sometimes it's going to be made for a kid and it's not for an adult and it's not challenging. It's not cerebral. It's not really good, but it's going to make a crap ton of money because it's entertaining enough and shiny enough that everybody who goes, especially again, children, seem to really, really like it, which by and large, I think has been the reaction that I've seen, that even if people are saying it's not something you should go see. You know what? Actually, let's take a different spin on this. And I should move on. We have so many things to get to in such a little time in the Quick Five. But I also blame Disney adults for this problem. The people out there who are proud of being a fan of, say, Disney or something like it, that are full-grown adults with no children in their lives at all. Those people are also the problem because they don't seem to understand that sometimes stuff isn't made for them. It is actually made for kids. Finally, I do like this. WKRP in Cincinnati, which aired from 78 to 82, was a great show, of course. Things are about to change, though. Call letters WKRP are going to start being used, I think, in Cincinnati. So this is exciting for a lot of people there for whatever reason, however long it's been since you remember the popularity of said show or the turkey drop or anything else that you think of from that show. But there's actually going to be a radio station in Cincinnati with the call letters WKRP. If they behave like the show, even better. If you can live stream the stuff going on off air and it's as silly as the stuff in that television show, dominant radio station. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. More for you in a bit.
It is our friends that are over at Preborn. This is such a great organization, and they do a lot to help save lives. They've saved just, in fact, last year alone, over 80,000 babies were rescued last year thanks to faithful supporters of Preborn. Every day, women hear the devastating lie that abortion is their only option and that there's no hope. But that changes the moment that a mother in crisis walks into a Preborn Network clinic and sees her baby on an ultrasound. That moment doubles that baby's chance at life. because it's not just an image on a screen. And that's something that really confirms that for women. And it begins that bond. It deepens that relationship. And Preborn did this, think about this, over 80,000 times last year. For $28, you can actually save someone's life, which is amazing. That's the cost of one of these life-saving ultrasounds. So let's go above and beyond 80,000 this year. For, again, $28, that buys one life-saving ultrasound, and you could be saving a life and not even know it. $28, that's pretty affordable to save an actual life. So let's make this year the biggest baby-saving year in history. Call or at #250. Just press #250. Say the word baby. That's #250. Say the word baby, or visit preborn.com/Dana.
If data management is slowing down your business, you need the Intuit ERP. If one entity is here, and one here, and one here, and one here, you need the Intuit ERP. If scaling your business feels like starting over, you need the Intuit ERP. Intuit Enterprise Suite is the AI-native ERP solution that consolidates, migrates, and automates, all in one place. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
All right, quick quiz for the hiring managers out there. What's worse, being understaffed or being poorly staffed? Well, that's a trick question, because both are recipes for chaos. Either way, just say to yourself, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. You'll get matched with candidates that meet the skills, certifications, and everything else you're looking for. Or go a different way and get no traction. Seriously, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 95% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. It really is a no-brainer. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in D Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. A great way is to stay connected to her at Radio Craig C. If you want to be one of the select 500, I think is what I'm calling it, for the very few people that follow me on a platform. I need to use more. I need to do that more. A mysterious pod of killer whales that was never seen before has surfaced in Seattle. Three or four different killer whales that were traveling together that had never been recorded. And that's what this means, are, quote, thrilling whale watchers out there. Killer whale is not the kind of thing I'd want to follow around, regardless of whether or not it actually hurts me, harms people. Part of that is not necessarily something I care all that much about, because the thing that I care about is being away from things like killer whales. But nonetheless, they are out there. They're being seen, and people seem excited. Corvette has stopped the sale of a vehicle, the C8 Corvette. I guess there's a faulty brake light outage, a module outage that's a culprit. It's certain 2025 and 2026 C8 Corvettes. Just when I was about to buy one is what I'm going to claim to be true, even though it's definitely not true. I like this story, too, though. I thought that was pretty interesting that the Corvette is currently being restricted, because now I can use this as an excuse if I want to tell somebody, oh, I was planning on getting one, man, but I guess they're having an issue. A Corvette, not what it used to be. TikTok has convinced everyone that they have autism, according to a recent headline in the New York Post that I thought was interesting. What actually is going on, and it's described here, is anytime you become aware as a person about the certain set of symptoms that prove that you have something, most people believe they have that thing. It's actually a phenomenon in studying psychology, where you diagnose yourself with every single mental disorder as you learn these somewhat, ambiguous versions of symptoms that are part of the trigger to get you to check to see if you might have some sort of issue. But now most people think they have autism, whether it's because you want to keep things neat and tidy at your work or at home or something. There's a whole ton of reasons. You might ignore seven symptoms you don't have and focus on the two symptoms you do, and then believe that you have a thing. That apparently is what TikTok is doing to most of us. And then I thought this was interesting. A social media influencer, a very attractive young woman, apparently was caught using fake accounts to both bully the people that were bullying her and then also compliment herself. Her name is Elena Tabor. She's one of a whole bunch of social media influencers who do this, whether you pay other people to do it or you just do it yourself, create second, third, fourth, 10th accounts, use those accounts to interact with you in a way that you think would eventually benefit you. My favorite example of this actually was a radio place I worked at where I think a news director had created a fake account using a stock image the company bought. So I just want to make this abundantly clear. The reason that people figured out that the account was fake, and they were actually using the account to bully on-air hosts, which was also weird, like that the person who was in the news role wanted to pick on the people in the host role. Maybe she thought that she should be a host and not them. I'm not sure what it was. But anyway, the way that it was figured out that it was an internal account and not a woman that actually had like kids and stuff is all the generic paid for stock photos were purchased by the news director's account with one of those image providers. And so that was hilarious to me when all of a sudden this account started ripping on the radio host that worked at the station. And it seemed like an older woman with grandkids. And then you find out that it's actually traced to photos that we bought, which is weird. And then an account that was created internally using an email that was also internal. Anyway, well, that's it. That's the show. Out of here. See you later. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Allergy season always has a way of sneaking up on you. One minute you're listening to your favorite podcast, the next it's nonstop sneezing and a runny nose. That's why it's essential to keep Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues on hand. They're silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin and allergist approved. So when allergies hit, and they will, be ready with Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
It's tax season, and by now we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This message is brought to you by Cologuard. If you recorded songs off the radio for a mixtape, it might be time to screen for colon cancer. The Cologuard test is non-invasive, requires no special prep or time off, and you start screening right from your home. It's just three simple steps: setup, sample, and ship. If you're 45 or older and at average risk, ask your doctor about the Cologuard test, available by prescription only. Learn more or request a prescription at Cologuard.com/podcast.